So I got to ask you, Ryan, what did you think when I pitched this idea to you? What was your initial reaction?
Oh man. My initial reaction was I absolutely cannot do this. This is just not in the cards for me.
Right.
It was just like, oh, that's too bad, 'cause I mean this would have been that would have been a super cool opportunity. What a cool thing for them to think of me, blah blah blah. So I slept on it, and I told a couple people about it, and one of whom was my manager, Michael, and he was like, "Oh, dude, you have to do this."
Well, so what made you ultimately decide I'm going to go for it?
It just honestly, it was a total gut thing, which turned out to be sort of the theme for the month. Just go with your gut.
So you're looking down the barrel of the shortest month of the year, and you have a whole lot of music to create. Did you have a game plan? Did you map it all out, or did you think I'm just going to let one idea lead to the next and hopefully it's going to work out?
Absolutely. The second thing. I mean, I felt like somewhere I had it in me, but it was just going to be a sprint, and I just said, I'm going to hit the ground running, and I'm going to come up with as many ideas as possible, in as little time as possible, and I'm just going to follow through on those ideas. I'm just going to, which is one thing which was absolutely new to me for this for Sunlux. Sunlux before had always been like, I'll come up with an idea and I'll work on it for a day or two, and then I'll put it away for like a month. And then if I come back a month later and it still just totally rocks, in my opinion, I'll continue work on it. If it's like, nah, I'll just toss it.
Right.
This time I didn't have that leisure, which in the end taught me a lot about myself, but also just, turned out great. I had to come up with those ideas, and no matter what I thought about them, I had to follow through on them, which in a sense gave them a chance in a way that maybe they wouldn't have been given a chance in a normal situation.
Well, I think that this working like this raises so many interesting questions about what it means to make art in the first place. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who's a painter, and he's very successful. I mean, he makes oil paintings and actually makes a living selling those paintings. And I asked him one time, I said, What's your secret? I mean, how is it that you succeed at this when so many other people are still struggling? And he just said, it's a lot of work. And so, he really believes that when it comes to creating great works of art, it's not necessarily waiting for some sort of divine inspiration. It's just putting time in the chair and working.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely true. For me, I would say it's half of ha that's half of it. The other half is just being given the opportunity, and life deals you hands it deals you hands that you have to deal with. And fortunately for me, and this is another example, I was dealt a great hand. So, but yeah, I mean the other half is with the hand you've been given, work your ass off, and that fortunately for me, that's it's so ridiculously fun to make music. That working really hard as I can, exhausts me, but also energizes me in a really important way.
How do you compare this to a project like At War with Walls and Mazes, an album that you spent, I've read 4 years working on that record, and it's a great record. This one, to me, stands up to that record very well, and you did it in 4 weeks versus 4 years. Well, can a real work of art be something that, let's say, you just make up? You're not deeply inspired, you're just making stuff up.
I mean, honestly, this record was more like improvisation. I mean, it's definitely composing, but it's the closest thing I've really come to improvising in the studio, which is fun. That's something another thing I learned about myself. But the thing with my first record is, I mean, I was halfway through, but just before I even sort of realized or admitted to myself I was making a record. I wasn't supposed to sing. I was supposed to find somebody who could sing, or some people who could sing, to sing the songs, to even write the melodies and lyrics themselves, blah, blah, blah. And at some point, I just started recording scratch vocals and was like, well, this kind of works. My voice is kind of ugly in maybe a cool way, and it's, the music is so architectural and so, like, kind of just so, that if the vocal's that way, maybe it would be too, you know, overall too mathematical or too clean. So the yin and yang kind of came in to play there, and I realized that, like, well, maybe I'm actually creating an alter ego that sings and produces music.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why it took so long, is because I was just doing it. I was just, you know, doing it for fun, and then realized it was a record halfway through. Well, now this time, I mean, I knew March 1st I needed to have a record.
Right. Well, I think the point that you're making also is that great art sometimes happens accidentally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, well, you know, while you're busy doing something else, you don't realize that it's happening.
Yeah, that's very true.
You said that you learned a lot about yourself during this whole process. What's something that you learned about yourself?
I learned that at this point in my career, or at least at this point in my career with Sun Lux, I can trust my instincts. I don't think that I could have said that about myself even a year ago. And that was a super important lesson. I also learned that before this month, I knew about myself that I could have great ideas, but I guess I always assumed that they took a lot of time. And that's probably because they did. More and more I've become faster, working faster, and a lot of that is because of my day job. I'm constantly working on deadlines. I was in, you know, three different genres today before this interview, so I'm constantly turning things around really fast. And before I started writing for ads, I thought I was fast, and definitely not. I definitely wasn't. So, but this time I've learned that those instincts aren't always going to be great. But I think by now, again, just with this Sun Lux project, by now, I think I can lean on those instincts and trust my gut a little more.
Well, you talked about working with other people. You had ideas that you were going to work with other people with the first record, and you ended up doing a lot yourself. I was surprised by how many people you brought on to help you with the new record that you're calling We Are Rising. You're an electronic artist, and you have the ability to create many sounds entirely on your own that, you know, that emulate acoustic instruments, whatever, you know, pizzicato strings, whatever it may be. But rather than do that, you gathered all your friends from different places all over the country and had them record snippets and send them to you. And I thought that just struck me as the most time-consuming. You're doing it the hardest way possible. You've got 4 weeks to do this record. Why are you trying to corral all these people from all over the country to help you out when this is something you could probably, you know, play on your own real quickly, just find the right sample for it?
Well, I have to disagree with that last statement that I could do some of these things on my own with sample libraries. Sample libraries are fantastic for mock-ups and through the process of heavy manipulation, which I do frequently, they can be incredible assets. And it's weird to sound so old school, but you know, humans in a room on instruments that they've fought with and learn to love over the course of decades, there is absolutely no substitute for that. And that comes through a microphone. Not only that, but dude, I mean, it's so unbelievably fun to work with other people. And it's partly just my arrogance and my megalomania, but I love to hear other people, you know, playing my stuff and interpreting it through their own limbs and vocal cords. I mean, it's like totally thrilling, and it scratches my ego in an awesome way. You know what
but
I mean?
But the music, it probably takes the music in surprising directions too. That
absolutely,
you might not have.
And I mean, for me, like that's the other thing I sort of learned about myself is, and I kind of knew already, but I learned it hardcore this time, is I'm a reactionary. You know, I'll hear something, I react to it, and then that glues itself to the piece. And a lot of times what happens is I'll hear something and it totally turns the whole course of the composition on its ear, and then everything reorients around that that surprise. Mm-hmm. And it's behind that bend, it's around that corner that, like, where beautiful things happen that I didn't necessarily cause to happen, but maybe I came upon them. Mm-hmm. I had to be on that road to discover them, but mm-hmm. More than that, it feels much more like a discovery than it does a creation of my own.
So was there ever a moment when you were working on this project where you just panicked and you thought, there's no way I'm going to make this?
There was a little panic moment with ironically, the simplest song, which was Flowers. Well, I see it as the simplest song. What happened was the song is super sad, and I sort of dreaded working on it every time. I love it. I think it's beautiful, but it just like feels so sad. And there's so much like awesome like fun energy in this record. Even in the darker parts and more. You know, melancholy moments, like just the creation of it was so overwhelmingly fun that it didn't really get me down. Mm-hmm. This song, for some reason, it's just like I kind of dreaded working on it, and I got to the very last day, and it was supposed to be just polishing up mixes and making making fresh mix downs of things that I had done a couple days earlier. And I pulled up this track. I was like, okay, it's finally time to deal with this track. And I realized that the only vocal I had recorded was a scratch vocal, and I'd put away the mic, and I was totally outside of the tracking mode at that point. And I mean, this was my last day, and I had this like panic moment. Like, not only am I sort of afraid of this song, but now I have to go record like the saddest vocal on the whole thing. Yeah. And I have to do it under a time crunch, and it's the kind of thing that I would never put myself in that situation. But interestingly, I looped the song. When I record, I'll just like loop it and record it a few times. Mm-hmm. And what printed was a comp of the first two takes. So in the end, it there was no need for worry, and if anything, like some of that distress maybe found its way onto the tape.
Do you feel comfortable saying where that song was coming from for you? That it was so difficult to work through it.
I usually like to avoid giving explanations, I guess, of my songs, of the meanings, because this is a really important thing for me. I think the meaning that I have, or at least the associations I have with a song, are just one person's associations. And I would love to think that people can interact and engage with the music in a way that they bring their own stories and their own associations and their own thoughts to it that are not necessarily like learned from the songwriter or the composer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So I would hate to say it's one thing and then people say, oh, that's what it's about, and then miss some beautiful story that may unfold in their mind as they listen. One of the coolest things for me about music is that once it's made, it's really not yours anymore. You know, it's most music that I make is for export. You know, there's very little that I keep to myself that no one hears. And once it's exported, you know, then what happens in people's ears is it's their own experience, you know, and it's totally awesome. I get every once in a while I get like, you know, notes from people, and they'll tell me the story that happened to them and how the song like relates to the story or something, and it's at that moment that I'm reminded music is, you know, even my music is not my music. You know, it's like once it's out the door, it's, you know, it belongs to everyone. It sounds so cheesy, but
yeah, and it kind of really takes true. On a life of its own, you know. It's,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So what's next? Well, you've got this record that you weren't, you know, at the beginning of the year, you weren't even expecting to have, and now you have it. Are you going to tour with it, or do you have, what's your next plan?
Yeah, man. I mean, now I'm already working out live arrangements for these new ones, and I sort of hate performing, but I just, so in a way to make it less painful for me, I just think of it as composing, and so I go back through and I sort of recompose, you know, each one. And because a lot of my songs are basically like little plain chant melodies or whatever, I can get away with, you know, doing that. I can just totally turn everything on its head and, you know, keep the melody.
What ended up, what'd you end up doing with all the Sun Lux songs you were working on before this project? Did you?
Wow. So I have this whole other record that I'm also super excited about that is pretty, I mean, it's pretty close. There's some things I'm going to reconsider now, having maybe done a few ideas better on this one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and see if there's another way to do those that would then one up myself again.
But and maybe we won't have to wait 3 years to...
No, you definitely won't, because I've been working on it for about that long, it seems like. But I think there's something to be said about a creative process that is deliberately slow. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the deliberately quick and then just going with the gut instincts. But even as much as I loved the gut instinct thing and I had a positive experience from it and I learned to trust myself, I don't think that it's necessarily better than the sort of labored, patient process. I just think that they're different, and mm-hmm. you can do both wrong and you can do both right. So I'm really interested in seeing it now with a fresh look, looking back at my stuff, and really I have like maybe 18 projects, you know, 18 songs, quote unquote, that I can come back to in a bit.
Now that it's all done, I have to ask you, would you do it, given the chance, would you do it all over again?
I definitely would. I would love to do more in general of recording instruments and my ideas very, very early, tracking ideas very early. I could still prolong the process of working with that audio, but this time was awesome because, like, I literally did all my tracking the first 15 days, except for my vocal stuff.
Wow.
Which meant that I mean, literally, people were walking in the door, and I was writing their parts, like, as they were unpacking. And then where I didn't have time to finish, like, making the notes, I would just try to, like, you know, verbally communicate, you know, okay, now for this part, just maybe, like, loop back to that one section but, like, change up the order of the notes and play them all staccato. Mm-hmm. And then we just track it, you know? And then after the fact, then I could maybe massage and, like, work, because I'm a samplist, I'm a collagist, so a lot of the coolest, like, arrangement things aren't necessarily things that I was clever enough to come up with on paper, mm-hmm. but maybe that once I had the crutch of my ear, if you want to think of it that way, I could then craft into, like, really, really cool and clever ideas. And I got a lot out of that. I think one of the things maybe I haven't done great in the record that I was working on is is just that, which is waiting too long to track the different instruments, like waiting till everything was, like, set and, like, you know, I had ideas about where every note should be. I think I'm just going to kind of, like, I don't know, screw that process for the next project. And as I go back, I'm just gonna, you know, go with my gut and track the stuff, and then, you know, and then work with my mind and with my ear after the fact.
Well, I can't tell you how excited we were that you did this, and it means so much to us. It was so cool watching these songs unfold on the blog, and it's going to be even cooler now for everyone to hear what you came up with. And,
yeah.
So thank you for being fearless and for taking this on, and it's just been one of the coolest things we've done here.
Oh, thanks, man. I mean, I'm so thankful for the opportunity, obviously, and, you know, if anything... I definitely learned so much about myself, and I mean that's kind of cool. Like, you know, I don't know that, like, the things that I learned about myself in this past month, like, I don't know if I could have learned them, you know, otherwise. So thank you so much.